What up, everybody? It's your main doodle stain, Jasmine Main, aka La Dollar Bean.
Hey, everybody, it's Idalie de la Lunex, but you can call me Jammin'.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Sangronex.
And you're listening to Queered Wellness.
Hola, amores. If you are joining us today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that you are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your time and energy with us today. This is the Queered Wellness Podcast, where queerdos like us get together in hopes of building community by sharing tips, resources, and personal experiences on what's worked and what has not worked in terms of mental, physical, and spiritual wellness.
Ailments.
Once again, we want to encourage you to become a sugar lover and make a one-time donation or monthly subscription to support us, to create some merch, to get some prints made, and more. Plus, we get to love you back. We will send you goodies, kisses, and handwritten notes, and more. Find the link in the bio. Find that link in the bio.
All
right.
That style.
I'm doing it. I
want to
be a sugar lover.
Oh, my God. I want to be a sugar lover. Yeah, I want to be a sugar lover. Take all my money.
Guess I'm going to tell you, baby. Guess I'm going to tell you, baby.
Pregunta. Here is the pregunta of the day. How do you tend to your grief, Charlie Brown? I don't know. Tell us. Let me think about it.
Let me tell y'all how I deal with grief. Tend to my grief. I think it's really important to word it like that because grief is just another process, another emotion, another thing that's requires healing. So the way that I tend to my grief is I allow it to come and I feel through the feels. So for example, whenever I have moments, especially like if I see a Mexican older man that instantly reminds me of my dad, construction workers, so many things remind me of my dad. And I, depending on like the mood and depending on, yeah, just like the moment, I can have a really heavy heart from it. And I just allow myself to feel that and honor it and cry if needed. Sometimes
cry party.
Crying session. Meet me at my house.
8 o'clock.
In the car, loser. We're fucking crying. Fucking God.
We're processing grief.
I'll bring cake.
Yeah, send tissues. But I also wanted to also just acknowledge that sometimes it's just a sad feeling of like, oh, I miss my dad. But also like, damn, that fool was cool. You know, like, honoring his legacy, honoring
that part,
what he's, like, how he lives within me and how I honor him every day. So, all those things. Feeling the feels, honoring, just let it come. And also let it go. Like, don't sit in how much death sucks, because death can definitely suck. But also, grief can come in different ways, so.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, I know that, like, we're talking about 2020 a lot on this podcast, and we're dealing with grief in the sense that, like, we're grieving a lot of shit that we'll never have again, right? There was, like, a part last year where I found out that Starline had closed down, and then there was another, like, honestly, like, 5 days after that where there was this big chunk of wood that I used to go sit at the Hayward Shoreline. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
They fucking tore it down. And that was like my last straw, right? And it sounds silly, but like I had a piece of wood. That was like one thing that I was holding on to, and like that was gone even. And I think that was just like this like cherry on top of this little shit pie, you know? But as far as like tending to grief, I think it, like you said, it's really important to sit with it, feel it. And it's okay to cry because you are mourning something that's understandably misunderstood. Like, nobody knows what's after death, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly, you know, I know that I personally, I've seen a lot of death. Growing up, I had two of my really close friends die. My cousin passed away on, like, New Year's Eve. And my grandma passed away, like, around Christmas time. And so anytime, like, a holiday comes up, I should, like, everybody's in this, like, jolly mood. And for some reason, I'm sad, and I don't know why. But it talks to, like the anniversary trauma or trauma anniversary effect that we've been talking about or that we're going to talk about. And I think it's important to acknowledge it, sit in it, but like you said, also keeping these folks' legacies alive. I know that recently my grandfather passed away, but he wasn't, like, our blood or anything. But it was beautiful because he's, like, this older white man who took in all these little black and Mexican kids, and he didn't have to, but at his funeral, we all got to go up and speak, and there were lessons that he instilled within us that my cousins are passing on to their children, I'm passing on to my students, and it's one thing to just do it and go through the motions, but then to put words to it and really glorify those people's legacies, I think it helps in feeling that they are still with us in some sort of way, or, like, just because it's gone in one way doesn't mean it's gone in every single way. Like, there are still ways we can appreciate and praise, like, what we've been given. Just because it's taken away doesn't mean it's not a gift anymore. You know, like, we got to experience that gift. Mm-hmm. So I think that for surely helped me.
Amen, amen.
Yes.
Gang, yeah. Don't pray, go.
Hallelujah. Pray.
Can I get a gay man?
Gay man.
What about you, John? For me, I don't know, if my mind was kind of just, like, turning right now, thinking, like, how I deal with grief. And when I think of grief, I kind of just think about people that are still alive, but not particularly in my life anymore. Ooh, or that, even, my old self. Grieving that person and, like, who I was in the past. And
old coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
That can also require grief.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, like you guys are both saying, to feel them and, I mean, I turn to eating a lot. I don't know if that's healthy, but it makes me feel better. but I'm trying to, like, I mean, also, like, working out, kind of just, like, getting your body moving. I was also talking to my therapist about stuff like that and how a lot of it, yeah, is just, like, a bunch of trauma that I have in my body that I need to, like, let go of. Whether that be, like, movement or acupuncture, getting massages, like, anything, Reiki, any of that. So, yeah, tending to my grief and then just being, like, and kind of just being grateful for, like, what the outcome was or, like, how it's a thing that sucks, but there's still positive that comes out of it.
Yeah,
I guess
you're still out here trucking.
Yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of that video I was talking about on our IG earlier. Yeah. So the psychologist, he teaches stress management, but he walks in the class, he's holding a glass, and the class is just like, sure, he's going to do some bullshit on, like, pessimism, optimism. Is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? It's a matter of perspective. But plot motherfucking twist. Watch this guy's out. Like, nah, actually, I'm just going to sit here and hold this. How much do you think this glass weighs? And everybody's like, I don't know, probably like 6 ounces. And so then he's like, but then it doesn't matter whether I drink what's in the cup or not. I can hold this glass for like an hour and I'd probably get tired of it and my hand would start to cramp. Say I had to hold it for 2 hours even. And then your body starts feeling fatigued. And he relates it to the same
4 years.
Thing. Years. Yeah, well, he relates it to the trauma and the shit and the grief that we hold on to. So if you don't deal with it, like, your body will actually physically start to feel fatigued.
Exhausted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're not,
what is the word I'm looking for? Like, if you're not aware of how you're dealing with it, your fatigue will be a surprise, right? And that'll be another stressor, because then you're just like, why the fuck do I feel like this, right? And so I think a lot of times it helps to pinpoint what it is that we're feeling and why we're feeling it, and still feel it. Like, just because, you know, you don't have to run away from it, if that makes sense.
But and you don't have to have the answer to why, because I feel like awareness, you do need some time to develop. You know, like, feeling, like, and remembering and acknowledging, like, where is this coming from? Sometimes you do have to dig a little deeper, and that takes some work. So sometimes you feel something, you don't have to have the answers, you don't have to question it, you don't have to know how to solve it, just feel it and just allow it to come and go.
Yeah. I was also gonna mention, too, that, like, surrounding yourself with people that you trust to talk about it with, because sometimes you just actually need to say it out loud and get it out and talk about it, and then, like, you never know, like, what it'll turn into. Or if you're not comfortable doing that, even just, like, propping up your phone and talking to yourself and making a little video message of, like, how you're feeling today and why you're feeling like that. But just, yeah, releasing that and getting it out, it kind of just puts it into more of a perspective, and then you can just go from there.
Yeah. I've done shit like that before, and I realize I'm just overreacting in my head.
Yeah.
I listen to myself out loud. I'm like, okay, bitch, calm down. Yeah. It's gonna pass. You're gonna be fine. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, in my mind, it's like this whole fucking novella, and I'm just like, hi, hi, hi.
Crisis.
Hi. Dun, dun. And then I write it out or speak it out loud, and I'm like, okay, I need to go to a commercial break. Like, this is not, no.
I was literally talking to my therapist about that exactly.
About,
like,
what?
Why don't you talk about your feelings? Like, why don't you, when I was feeling frustrated last week, and I was like, because I know I'm just being dramatic, and, like, I don't want to talk about it because I just know I'm going to sound stupid. And she's like, but you have to get out. And I'm like, I know, but. Not now. Like, let me think more.
I was thinking that too, because sometimes you can be aware of it and you think you process through it, but then it still kind of lingers there, and it's because you need to release it in a different form, and sometimes just talking about it is that form.
Dude, that is for real.
Yeah.
Dude, this literally ties into trauma anniversary effect. Let's talk about it on
CTUS.
Trauma anniversary effect. Mm-hmm. And please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let's go get some tacos and we're going to talk about it.
And we are back. Welcome back to all you queerdos out there.
Olé.
Today, you've got us three talking on what trauma anniversary effect is. I thought that it was kind of sort of important to cover this because we, as an entire world, are approaching a year anniversary of a lot of traumatic shit.
Coronavirus.
Pan dulce. Not only that, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Black Lives Matter movement, protests being shut down, police brutality, fires, the list goes on.
Being
the
stuck
loss
at home
of loved ones, being stuck at home
with people with that aren't thoughts. Healthy for you.
Yeah, a lot, a
abusive
lot, a lot
people.
Of shit. Honestly, the list can go on.
And it
so,
does.
What is trauma anniversary effect? According to the Awareness Center, it's a collection of disturbing feelings, thoughts, and memories that occur on or around a date that marks a significant event. You might be feeling sad, irritable, anxious, emotionally shut down, or even unable to sleep. And I think it's important because I think a lot of us are going to go through this next year feeling all these wacky ass feelings and not know why. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? You know? And it might be this. You might be experiencing this. You know what I mean? Let's see. Then I was going to say, oh yeah. So with many psychological phenomena, the anniversary effect happens for a reason. And research shows that our brains actually store painful, sad, or traumatic memories in an easily accessible way so that we can be reminded of and warned off of the dangers to protect us from something similar happening again. How weird is that, right? It's literally in our muscle memory, our mental memory.
Yeah.
So, like, for example.
That is so sweet of our bodies, though.
I know, right? Like, just out here trying to take care of me. Like, I know you meant well. Your intentions were good, but honestly, you're fucking me up.
But calmate,
I still love you, though.
Fuck your intentions. What are you actually doing for me?
But, yeah, so, like, a lot of this can affect us in somewhat of a detrimental way, but... Now, what we're experiencing, you know, we're all experiencing individual trauma, but there's also this thing called collective trauma. And according to this guy, Hirschberger, collective trauma is a cataclysmic event that shatters the basic fabric of society. And we as society are like experiencing like an exponential shift. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Shit feels like it's falling apart and it's fucking scary. I just found out today that my school district that I work for cut like millions of dollars. Our elementary students will no longer have PE. They will no longer have music. They don't have counselors. They got rid of the psychologist, and it's post-pandemic. Like, that does my kids no good, and I'm fucking sad about it, and it hurts. So, I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
That makes me feel
it's sad.
I think it's also, like, not only are we coming up on a trauma anniversary, but some of us are still processing last year's traumas.
Yes.
So it's like layers of this shit.
It don't stop.
My ears
until your panties drop.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That was inappropriate.
No, but yeah, that was one thing about last year, too, was like... And I think that's partially why it went by so fast, is that we didn't even get a chance to recognize what was going on before we could even, like, kind of grieve about something. We essentially, like, kind of became numb to all this shit. Like, what's fucking new? What's fucking new today? What's fucking up today?
Yeah. It kind of seems like, I don't know, in my hope and what I think, in my hopeful heart, is that this is just going to bring the community a lot closer together and a lot more of taking care of each other. Because I don't know, just what I've been seeing like on social media and just talking to people around, a lot of more people are realizing like the government isn't doing anything for you. Like, we have to take care of each other. And I think a lot of people are like going out of their ways and like getting more careers and like creating their own careers into where they can do that. And I just think that's really beautiful, and I hope that, I don't know, if I had, like, a dream of what could happen, like, a big community would take, the community of whatever would have, they would make, like, a community after school program or something where people, kids can talk to counselors and people, you know, put in their time to do that because that's the kind of work that they want to do.
Did y'all see GoFundMe call out
the government? What's the cheese, man? Yeah. Drop that shit.
I mean, I don't know if this was on Twitter or I don't know, but basically they were like, we love that we are the platform where people can go and like, you know, ask for support from their communities and stuff like that. But it shouldn't be a dependent on source of obtaining money and obtaining ways of surviving. Yeah. Your government should be there for you. Your government should be allowing you, you know, providing you housing, providing you
healthcare.
Yeah, all this stuff. And
education.
That, yeah, there's probably been like a huge increase in GoFundMes because the government isn't providing any of that support that they need to be doing.
Yeah.
So even GoFundMes coming after your ass.
Yeah.
Bruh, that is so sad. And yeah, even as a teacher, a lot of the shit, like supplies I gotta get for my students, GoFundMe or what's that other one? Donors Choose. Donors Choose came through for me so many times. But honestly, it's the community.
Like, yeah.
The government, dude, you know, our school or our district, they have like millions and millions and millions of dollars in reserves. And what they say is that they're saving it for a rainy day. But they just
this is a rainy day. Like, it's a fucking pandemic.
All these teachers are like, well, I think this is a fucking rainy year. What the fuck are y'all waiting for?
Yeah.
And
it's a thunderstorm,
guess
right?
What? Nope. Instead, they're just going to cut a bunch of positions. Now, students, post-pandemic, are not going to have physical education. They're not going to have counselors. Like,
they barely have regular education.
Like, dude, it is
so sad. Those are very essential during all of this fucking trauma. Yeah. Like, they need to be able to release all that energy in the body through physical fitness. They need to be able to talk about it with somebody who's a professional and they can rely on, like, this is bullshit. Yeah. You're cutting all the shit that they need in order to cope and in order to, like, not...
For pennies.
Yeah.
Dude. Or dollars, whatever. But it's all imaginary anyway, so I lose my mind over this shit, bruh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get sad. I remember this moment last year. It was, like, right after I went to a protest. And I've been to protests before, and it... Honestly, it's a beautiful thing to see so many people come together, but then it gets scary once the sun goes down because the police come out.
Yeah.
The police are what makes it scary. Yeah. Right? Like, the folks who were there, like, in the name of equality, love, justice, that's cool. Like, I've been there, dude. It's beautiful. But it's not until the police come out, the government tries to put their hands in shit, that it gets all scary and fucked up. Mm-hmm. But
like
there was...
nobody called you. Why are you here?
We actually don't even like you, bro.
You were not invited.
You're not invited. You cannot sit here. Yeah. But finally, there was one day after, like, all kinds of shit had been happening. I was writing in my journal, and I fucking cried. And I'm not a big crier, but I cried because, like, our safe space was gone, right? And so I've got all these queer babies. I've got my black boys, my black girls, you know? Like, I got my Latinx students, my queer Latinx students who are now stuck in homes that don't acknowledge them for who they are. They don't validate their weirdness. You know what I'm saying? And these students have been dealing with this for a year. Then they're hoping that they can go back to school and see the teachers that they love, have the classes that they love, and they're not going to get any friends. Of that.
Yeah.
None of that.
Not even graduation, no prom.
Yeah, dude, I feel really bad for empaths out here.
Yeah.
Like,
you should.
Bruh. So, like, yeah, so, like, we're talking about collective trauma, right? Never before, like, other than, like, what, Vietnam War, I think? Or, no, Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, I think, and Vietnam were televised,
yeah,
right?
Vietnam was, like, a really big, like...
Yeah, that was an eye-opener.
War
right?
was, like,
because
on
it was
TV.
Televised. Yeah. And that was an example of collective trauma, right? Where, like, the world... recognize
and that was
shit.
When the protests were coming more
yes,
like
the peace hippie
yeah
movement
the hippie
and
movement
all that shit
yep.
yep and psychedelics came out and people were like this is so
like,
bad
fuck this
yeah and now more than ever we have that connection to the world but it's in our pockets
yeah
and we can't let it down right
yeah
so everybody globally is experiencing year a trauma anniversary effect of trauma.
Mm-hmm. That's actually right. one of the ways that we can take care of ourselves. Like, you should disconnect whenever needed because it's really hard to get away from, mm-hmm. you know, if you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, you're, like, on whatever social media, there's some shit going on.
Always.
So, like, we're taking in more information than our human experience can really process. So when you need it, which you should, that should be a regular healthy coping mechanism. Take a day, even an hour, just an hour at least.
Dude, throw that
phone. Put the phone down.
Away. Put it on
airplane
mode.
Read a book.
Yep.
Meditate.
Doodle,
take a bath.
Go on a run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just don't.
Because it's filled. It's surrounded. It's really hard to escape that.
Yeah.
And
even
it's
if
addicting.
You're like. You just get these notifications.
And then you can feel guilty if you're not constantly up in the news and up in, like, what's going on. But, like, dude, you come first. Prioritize yourself. Like, it's
100.
Hard.
Yeah, because, honestly, this is going to sound so cliche, but the change really starts with yourself, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
If you can take care of yourself, then you can take care of your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And then you and your neighbor can take care of your neighbor's neighbor.
And their dog.
And their dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job, Jen.
And the plantitas.
Yeah.
Plantitics.
Aww.
Yeah, the plantitics.
And then it's just this whole cute-ass community
yeah.
that's taking care of each other.
Mm-hmm. So how do we cope with a trauma anniversary effect?
Well, I was kind of just skimming through some articles and such. One thing that
they mentioned.
That they mentioned. Thank you. Was kind of just being aware of when something traumatic happened to you, and kind of knowing like to not go super hard. Like, don't, maybe you shouldn't have like 5 meetings about something or have like hella shit to do. Kind of just mm-hmm. take it really slow and like go with the flow, but like kind of play it by ear and just not be very hard on yourself, because just feeling all those emotions can be draining. And if you have a lot going on and you're just trying to process at the same time, you could just explode, and we don't want that. And then they also mentioned doing a tradition or like a ritual for someone that you lost, or just doing a ritual or tradition for any trauma that you've had. It's like a really beautiful way of releasing, and yeah, just being aware and releasing that. And what was that quote that they said? Like, the people, they deserve your grief.
Oh, your loved ones deserve your grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grief is not bad. Yeah, it's a human process. It's a way that we
show that we care and you feel.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. love and care for the people around us, for the things that, you know, that are in our lives and that are taken away, you know?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Dude, for sure. And I think it's important to know that coming up on all this traumatic bullshit, that we're not the only ones dealing with this,
mm-hmm.
you know, like
we're all in the entire together.
World, you guys, the entire world is dealing with this, right? I like wrote down a bunch of stuff, but I wrote down our very identity, not just personally, but as a society, is changing throughout all of this. So it isn't just a personal thing. Like, we're going through change on a micro and macroscopic level.
Structural.
It's systematic.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes change, right? But it's got to happen, and it's going to be tough. But if we do actually want to see positive change, we have to let go of a lot of old habitual things. Mm-hmm. Things that made us comfortable, right? Step out that comfort.
Yeah. Changing it up.
And it would be, this isn't like one of those things that you can also just plan ahead. Like,
yeah,
if you mm-hmm. have a specific date for something, like, for example, like when the day that my dad passed, like, I don't work that day. Point blank, like that day is my day for grief, for honoring, for whatever the ritual that I need to honor him. But like, plan ahead, go to your support system, maybe hang out safely wherever you feel comfortable, but yeah, just like maybe yeah. put some extra me time.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever. Yeah, and put meaning to that day, right?
Oh, yeah, can also reflect on the year. Like, yeah, this year sucked, but what are some things that you're grateful for? What is something that maybe brought a smile to your face in the chaos of what was everything that was going on, you know? So honor also the fact that you survived. You're here.
You did.
I'm
resilient.
You're resilient as the
resilience.
Resiliency. Resilience. But yeah, when you are able to put meaning to that day, or like give it some sort of positive twist, it also gives you hope, and then that gives you this courage to like keep on trucking, right? And you change the narrative. It's no longer a day where you lost something. It's a day where you can reconnect with
yeah.
whatever you may have lost, you know? So it's not all lost. It's still there.
Yeah, and recognize how powerful you are. Like, you fucking got through it. Like, it.
We're still getting through it, too.
You thought you weren't going to be able to, and you're still here.
Mm-hmm. It was not easy. Mm-hmm.
And it still ain't.
Nope. No, not at all. Nope.
That's why we made this podcast.
Dude, seriously. I know I particularly, like, I was grieving my gay community, y'all. Like, no other mother. Like, I know I've mentioned it before, but, like, when you don't see representation outside of yourself, you start to lose your identity and a sense of purpose, almost, of, like, who I am or where do I belong. And it's scary because I know that a lot of my students are going through that, and that fucking breaks my heart. But even more so of an issue, like, I always think about, like, my Black and my Latinx students who have grown up in the system and never got to see any Mexican heroes or black heroes. It's always, you know, like, it's always these white European colonizers who wrote history. So obviously, you know, the perpetrators kind of, they're going to erase the bad that they did or minimize it when it, that's definitely not the case, right? Like, what happened and what is happening is really fucked up. Bleh. Yeah, but that's why I made this podcast.
Fucking I go on a deep.
Motherfucking rant. Don't get me started deep. Down the hole.
Full circle, baby.
So, I mean, what do you guys think? Let's talk about what could we do this year, maybe, to change the narrative, I guess. Like, what is one... Like, I know we talked about your dad, right? Like, that's an anniversary that comes a lot. But I know that, like, my granny passed away last year. Her anniversary is coming up. And that shit, y'all... Whew, that I still deal with. And I know that I'm like, you know, no regrets, but I kind of regret a little bit not going to see her before she passed away. But I also am glad that I didn't have to go through that. And my last memory of her is a really sweet one. But yeah, it was really tough. It was during the fires and she was in a nursing home. They didn't let anybody visit her prior to her passing away. So it had been a while before family could even see her, and I'm pretty positive that one of the nurses probably, like, took COVID into there, and I still don't know whether she died of old age, loneliness, COVID, I don't know, but my entire family had to stand outside in the smoke and watch her pass away through a window. And it's hard, y'all. And I know that anniversary is coming up. And so, I don't know. Maybe I'll try to get together with my mom and my sister and, like, honor her memory in some other way.
Yeah, go to, like, a restaurant where she loved to go or the type of food that she liked to cook. Maybe make a
Platanos
dinner.
Always remind me of her. Platanos, arroz, and frijoles.
Yes. Yes, let's do it. I'm down. I'll make it.
Some queso frito. Oy.
Yes.
But, yeah, definitely the her Platanos will always remind me of her. But yeah.
It's a little difficult. Well, like, what if you don't have a date? Like, what if you...
You can make a date.
Why is there music?
Because it's just rolling. Just keep rolling.
Oh, okay. like, yeah, you constantly are grieving. Like, I know everybody's grieving every single day, but, like, I don't know. Like, what type of ritual would you suggest?
I mean, I would say getting together with a couple of your closest homies and
releasing,
kind of just celebrating your relationships and the fact that you were, you know, throughout this pandemic, a lot of people lost touch with some folks and you didn't know who was really going to stick around and who wasn't, but we still have those folks who stuck around, those folks who you were like, dude, you might have coronavirus, but I'd rather see you and be with you than never see you again.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's your ride or dies that you gotta have. And so I would say, get with your ride or dies.
Yeah.
And talk about the shit that you went through together, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you don't need to have a date to have a...
It sounds cute, though.
Then you can always make a date. Yeah. Pick a date.
Okay.
Make it up. Pick 3-3, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
If you feel like you need a date, then, you know, you make the rules. You got the power.
It's okay. Your world. Everybody else is
you're the main character.
I just
story.
Do it once a month.
Yeah, can I get a gay man?
Mm-hmm. Gay man.
Gay man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that would, especially if you do it once a month, that's beautiful. Like, maybe every other Saturday or, like, whatever, every third Saturday of the month, you, like, do this certain thing that allows you to process that grief. That's beautiful.
Go to the water. Bring yeah. some offerings.
Yeah,
write
and
a
if
poem
you're doing it,
or
if
write
you're doing
how you
it
feel.
In the name of grief.
Say it out loud.
Thank that's a you. Step toward acknowledging it and working through it, I think. Versus like, oh yeah, this is the anniversary of whatever, no big deal.
Or making
art
through it.
Suppressing it. And that's just gonna take its toll on you. Yeah. Physically, mentally, emotionally.
You will project onto people too. Oof.
Well, yeah, I know that. Up
your relationship.
Yeah, but what if you're like, I'm grieving, this is happening, and not, it's no big deal, but it's kind of just like, I don't know. All right, yeah, I'm grieving. Now what? You know what I mean?
Like, I don't just know, that it sounds kind of dismissive. Feeling. Like, you don't have to worship your grief, but like,
no.
Even acknowledging it, I think.
I mean, just like writing it down and burning it. That's
That's always nice.
Yeah, I love burning that.
I want to start making like an art project through.
Dude, some of the best art and funniest comedy comes through grief.
Yeah.
That's you know, why and a lot of like comedians like are super depressed. Everybody processes it in their own way.
A lot of comedians are super depressed.
Oof. Maybe that's why I'm so funny.
You a sad ass bitch. I see that pain in your eye as you laugh.
Okay. Well, that's all I got for y'all.
That was heavy.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, let's say three good things that came out of 2020.
Ooh, okay.
And it can't be this podcast because it was already mentioned.
Oh, and because that's a given, bitch.
And because, duh, we out here. We love
Okay, wait, okay. So
and I three,
three good things that came out of 2020.
2020.
Let me think.
I already got it.
Okay, you go first.
For show, no offense, I'm moving out of my mom's house. moving out of my mom's house, starting to practice sobriety, and... there's something else really important. I feel like just learning how to develop healthy coping mechanisms. And with that, it just like encompassed all this other like good shit, like being okay, being vulnerable and communicating.
Strength
and
vulnerability, like, baby. Mm-hmm.
Allowing people to see me and my sadness and my pain. So in the end, grief for me ended up being a tool or an outlet or a transitional thing that allowed me to develop these healthy coping mechanisms and allow the people that love me in.
Yay!
Yas, bitch! Yas!
Thank
okay,
you.
Pick me.
Okay, yes!
Okay, okay right. So...
step to the side, baby!
Body in class!
One thing that I realized is that I have abandonment issues.
ACA, that was...
ACA helped me realize a lot of shit. For those of you guys who don't know what ACA is, Adult Children of Alcoholics, support group, holla. If you guys want some more information, I'll point you to Olivia because she got it all.
Yes,
not only did I, like, realize that I really had some abandonment issues, I saw... what my triggers were, right? So, and how it affected me, right? Because sometimes I'm just like, I'm just gonna lay in my room for 2 days because I just be going and going and going, right? But there was one point where all my roommates moved out, and as an ACA, you tend to blame yourself for a lot of shit. And so I kind of found myself blaming me for the fact that everybody left, and I felt abandoned, dude. Like, one roommate left December 1st, and then the other one wasn't supposed to leave till February, and then gave me, like, 5 days notice saying they were leaving in January, and then the other one was like, oh, and I'm leaving in February, and so it was just, like, all these stressors of, like, am I gonna be able to find roommates, am I gonna be out on the streets again, you know, like, am I gonna live in my car again, because that shit, although it was good and fun-ish, but it was fucking stressful, it triggered all these feelings inside of me of being inadequate, and I know that I'm not, and mm-hmm. I'm still on great terms with all these people that moved out, and there was nothing horrible, like, there was no abuse that happened, you know, but it just, like, it triggered that inside of me, so during this 2020, I've realized that I have abandonment issues. And I know what my triggers are now, right?
Yay.
And I think that's also partially why I value so tough community and building community. Mm-hmm. I realized in 2020 how much my community means to me.
Lovely.
Yes, gay men.
Gay men.
For me, definitely grateful for that strong being deep inside of me that like pulled me out when I really needed help and kind of shook me back into reality. And for sobriety, which totally has changed my life and the way that I look at things and the way that I deal with things.
And your relationships.
And my relationships. I have stronger and healthier relationships now. I'm just very much more, I was very careless and I'm much more like, I fucking care and I like that and I don't like that.
Care bear.
And I mean, it is what it is. You're either in or you're out. And before I was just like, yeah, anything goes, whatever. Now I'm very, I know what I want and I know what I don't want.
Yes.
And yeah, just setting boundaries. That was a huge one that I just was totally unaware. And ACA definitely let me know that. I didn't even know. I'm like, what the fuck is a boundary? Like, I've never, no one's ever. It's
that line on the side of the football field.
Dude, no one's ever talked to me about boundaries before. And I was like, wait, I can like say no to people. And oh, like,
that part, especially as a woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Or yeah,
we're a bitch if we set boundaries.
Yeah,
but no longer.
I don't give a fuck.
Am I a bitch? But I will be that bitch. Ooh. Hey. Do you feel him in your
gaming?
Do you feel him in your
gaming?
Anything else, German?
I think that pretty much concludes it.
All right. Yeah. Well, that is it.
I love y'all.
So proud of us,
and
we're proud
thank
of you.
For joining us on the show.